Well, we got another good one for you today. We're going to be dealing with the incident with Moses and Miriam, and I pray you can find it in your textbook. But the subtopic is, and I'm going to give you a minute to look at it, to speak against representative authority incurs divine wrath. To speak against representative authority incurs divine wrath. We're going to be coming out the book of Numbers with this incident dealing with Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. We're going to find out that they reviled against Moses and let God, and God had to intervene and make a correction between Miriam and Aaron. And the thing is, they thought they were equal on the basis of family relationship to be able to deal and correct Moses as they did. But we're going to find out through the scriptures that God doesn't think like that when it comes to authority. And let's take a look at how God handled it in the book of Numbers. Numbers 12. I'm going to have to read the whole chapter, class, because that's the only way we're going to get a good idea of everything that's transpiring here. Numbers 12 and 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, had God indeed spoken only by Moses? Had he not also spoken by us? And the Lord heard him. Make a note to underline that in your Bible. And the Lord heard him. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. This is what he said, Glad. Come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came up. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, and even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And here's a good definition of the word reviling, to speak against God's authority. To speak evil against God's authority. And God challenged them right here in the scripture. We're going to talk further about this, but I just want to get the reading in of what's happening here. Then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Ninth verse. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. And he departed. Who departed? God's presence departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days. And the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward, the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. Glad I read this whole chapter of this number, the 12th chapter of Numbers, because God allow us to see this lesson through the scripture for a particular reason. And he was very explicit in it. And you're going to see some reason why God did certain things. And God established himself with Moses and with Miriam and Aaron concerning his authority among them. Now, why did God start among the family? Why did not God deal with the others prior to dealing with Moses, with Aaron and Miriam? And if you think about it, authority, the foundation of it, is it deals with the home. You see it? So God had to correct the proper foundation of his authority within the circle of Moses' home. So if the family is not submitted unto your authority, what about the other people? And so God used Miriam and Aaron as an example unto the others, because he will not tolerate a rebellion within his people. All right? And God declared that Moses was to be his person that was going to carry out his assignment during this time with the children of Israel. So I'm beginning in the lesson class to speak against representative authority incurs divine wrath. You should have found it by now. To speak against representative authority incurs divine wrath. Now, that's just what Moses was. Moses was God's representative authority. When Moses spoke, it would have been or should have been as if God himself spoke. And God expects the results of him speaking to Moses would be the same as him speaking directly to the people. But God always put a person, a man, between you and the people of God, so he can have an authority, so they can be accountable and responsible for his will being done upon the earth. God always looking for accountability. So point number one, Aaron and Miriam were elders, brothers, and sisters to Moses. You see, being elders and brothers to Moses, they feel as though there was a right to be able to correct them. Because if you think about the order of the age with Miriam and Aaron and Moses being the younger, you would think that Moses would have been subject unto Aaron and Miriam because he was younger. But it's fine in the natural realm. And God expects us to do that in the natural realm. But when it comes to spiritual authority, whomsoever God's anoint and appoints becomes the authority. And that physical realm, it has to submit itself to the spiritual realm. So you have to understand that when it comes to authority, God doesn't look at physical relationship. Then God deals with the spirits of men. You with me? Not the natural flesh. There was no flesh connection at all when it came to God dealing with Moses and dealing with the children of Israel. So God had to separate the flesh connection, and so they'll know that this was spiritual here that God was doing, and there was not any physical relationship that was going to be used by God to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. Because God had to have a supernatural intervention, supernatural commitment. And so you have to see the authority of God in a supernatural way and not just a family traditional way. You know, you in charge one day, and Miriam said, I'll be in charge tomorrow. And Aaron said, I'm going to be in charge the next day. We're going to swap. We're going to swap the pulpit. Well, it wasn't pulpit, but we're going to swap our authority among each other since we're the same family. You see it? But no, God doesn't function like that. And I just happen to bring that point up. Because they were elders, sisters, and brothers to Moses, they thought they had the authority and that Moses should have been subject unto their authority. But in the calling and work of God, class, listen to this, they ought to subject themselves to Moses' authority. In the work and the calling of God. So let's move that into our realm of where we are now. So in spiritual things, when God raises up a family within the church, God expects them to be as an authority. And even, I see it so clearly here at World Life Christian Center with the authority of apostle and all his children are in ministry along with them. And they never cross their boundary. When they're at home around the dinner table, he may be considered as daddy. But when he's in the anointing of God, and he's constantly walking the Spirit, there's always a reverential, it's a separation between the Spirit and the flesh. And they no longer look at him as Father. He's their apostle just as much as he's our apostle. And they don't see any difference. And that's why they can submit themselves so easily. You see it? And sometimes God demonstrates something. And so we know as a member and family of World Life Christian Center that authority is a spiritual matter and has to be handled spiritually. And you can see it. You can see it in the roles of apostle and his family. And it trickles on down the line until to we as those that are commissioned to follow and to serve under him. And even when it comes down to the congregation, the level of submission and authority that's reflected upon the church, because he walks in authority. And he has taught us that submission is relevant for us to do the will of God. You can't do the will of God unless there's the divine order of authority present within the church. And so it has to be a line of authority that God established and not something men established. You see it? So they were not happy. We're talking about Moses, brother and sister Miriam and Aaron, one of the reasons why they reviled. They were not happy with the Ethiopian woman whom Moses had married. So they spoke against Moses by saying, "Had Jehovah indeed spoken only with Moses? Had he not spoken also with us?" Well, here's that equality in the flesh I was talking about. The flesh wants to be equal and walk in a certain equality, and they had not seen the revelation, and God is permitting their error to open their eyes up to a revelation of submission, almost like we talk about Noah and his son, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, when Ham uncovered his father's nakedness. Sometimes God will permit some things for our purpose and our lesson, so we can see how God deals with the authority, even when it comes to the family and the home setting and relationship to the church and the work of God. So they did not respect Moses' authority. They thought they had a say-so in the relationship or what Moses was doing in the work of God. You see, even him marrying his wife, the Ethiopian, God ordained it to be okay. So who are they to judge whom Moses married? You see it? So sometimes we dive into spiritual things without knowledge of what God is doing. We judge according to the flesh. And that what their judgment was according to the flesh. But God made a spiritual move. Everything God do or allows in the spirit is ordained by him because he want to demonstrate something and show his glory in so many ways. We don't understand the fullness of God. We don't understand the sovereignty of God. So sometimes we'll judge according to the flesh, even because it don't look right, don't seem right. You see, God has a purpose and a plan for everything he do or allows to be done. Remember I said that. And he's defining an Ethiopian woman. An Ethiopian is an African, a descendant of Ham. Moses should not have married this Ethiopian woman in the natural sense. in a natural sense, because this woman came from the lineage of Ham, whom was cursed by Noah because he misrepresented God with his father. And so he looked upon it as being a cursed people, a cursed nation. And so, but God allows and permit what he allows and permit. And one day we can go to Romans and see how God supernaturally brought the Gentiles in into the church. And it was confusing to a lot of Jews because God decided to allow the Gentiles to come in among the church. So God has a perfect plan, and whatever he does is for our knowledge. God had entrusted his delegated authority in the work to Moses. How wrong was it for Aaron and Miriam to attack Moses' position on the basis of family reason? It was wrong. It was God who had chosen Moses to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. Nevertheless, Miriam despised Moses, and for this, God was greatly displeased with her. She showed her hand and a show of emotion regarding Moses being chief among them as a family. And it was kind of hard to be able to submit to my little brother whom I rescued out of the river, whom I saved his life, and now he's going to tell me what to do? He's going to lead me? No, it's hard for her to digest that. And so you got to look at the flesh and how sometimes the flesh is contrary to the will of God when it comes to family relationship. You see, most divisions start within the family. You see? And so Satan tried to attack the family, and because it's the representative of God's authority. You know, Apostle Paul writes in the book of Timothy, if a man not able to rule his family well, you see, he starts with the core. If you're not able to rule his family, he said, how are you going to rule the church of God? How are you going to function in the church of God if his family not submitted to him? So that God has a purpose and plan for allowing these things to transpire. In standing on natural ground, they conceive a rebellious heart. What does that mean? That doesn't mean they yield to the sense realm. And when they look in the sense realm, they say, Moses has no right to do what he's doing. And we have a right to correct him like anybody else. You know? And so it's a little blind in the flesh. Authority is blind in the flesh. Because people don't understand authority that God gives men in the flesh. They can't see. Oh, I can't see how somebody can have that much authority. You know, but they don't know how God functions. They don't know how God functions. That man has too much power. No, they don't know how God functions. It's a function, it's an authority that yielded to God. And remember, God, format of authority, one of the basic things is everything has to be done in love. You see? Authority begins in love. And so God always know how to orchestrate his true authority. Now, if there's true authority, true representative of authority, Satan always counterfeit with a false representative of authority. And you're going to see somebody going to do it wrong, and somebody going to misrepresent God. I'm talking within our day in the church. Someone going to overbear the authority. Someone going to try to dictate to the people. And someone going to function in control and spirit, and the spirit of God, no way in it, just to get their desire done, their will done, and misrepresent God. And it put a whole damper on the church and true authority. You see it? Apostle always say, don't throw the baby out with the dirty, bad water. Just because some people have come and muddied the water when it comes to authority, it puts a lot of people in fear of authority because there's fear of error. And they go to the Jim Jones syndrome and remember all these things that happened because no one had discernment and they didn't understand the scriptures, and nobody had enough sense to be able to recognize true authority. You see it? Are you with me? And so for years, it put a fear on the body of Christ when it came to submitting to proper authority. And everybody would put their guards up when somebody seemed to rise up too high in authority. And so they made their own decision within themselves how far or how much they're going to submit. You see it? You see, he's a man just like me, or she's a woman just like me. No, but when it comes to God's divine authority, God's supernatural leadership, and God's apostolic government, the people are trained enough to know. The people are matured enough to know the difference. And so if there's no maturity in the body of Christ, then you're going to have these charlatans come through. Misrepresenting God and authority. I didn't mean to go over that, but you got to see both sides of authority, how it can be misused and misrepresented by God. And God had nothing to do with it at all. You see it? God had nothing to do with it at all. But true authority is a divine thing. And God honored it. And listen to this. And that's the only way God's going to get his will done upon the earth. If there's a true authority that being established after his own heart, that was responds to God. When a spiritual leader is functioning out of God's heart, when the word of God becomes their format, and when the spirit of God is anointed upon them, and they're being led by the spirit of God. Are you with me, Clan? Because a lot of people fear this. See, this lesson of authority is a good lesson. But just like electricity, if it's in the wrong of an inexperienced person, it can hurt them. It can hurt them. And that's why God, through the Ephesians 4:11-16, is riding the body of Christ up to a maturity so God can come through and do his thing through the body of Christ. And there won't be any dissension among them. They'll be as one woman, one man doing the will of God. No dissension among them. No division among them. Oh, God desires to see that day when the church fall in line like a perfect united body and be able to do what God desires to do in these last days. We're in the last days, church. And for us to get to the church without spot or wrinkle, we have to have a certain amount of maturity that we can get God's plan and God's heart done within the earth realm. And that's what these things is all about. That's what the apostolic is all about. And that's what we're trying to get to you as a clan. All right? So it starts within the home. And so we're going to see how God dealt with this thing. Yet Moses did not answer back. He knew that if he had been set up by God to be authority, he need not defend himself. Authority need not defend himself. Authority need not be able to try to answer and to everybody. Authority not to answer to everybody. Authority not to give a reason on certain things when God tells him something to do. Are you with me? Whoever reviles him, some of the authority, touches debt. Oh, we don't like that word. And it may not be physical debt all the time. Sometimes it can be certain areas become so dead in your life where God ain't functioning. For certain things where the Spirit of God not even moving and not even anointing you to do certain things. When you revile and rebel against God, it draws God's hands back off of you. And you begin to walk sometime alone when you're in reviling and rebellion. So long as God gave him authority, he could remain silent. A lion needs not protect, no protection, since full authority lies within him. Moses was able to represent God in authority because he had first been subject to God's authority, for he was very meek above all the men who were upon the face of the earth. Now, class, this verse of scripture here that we found in the Numbers 12, talk about Moses' meekness. God, that's a certain character of authority. And as we get, if we may get to it somewhere down the line, but you could talk about the credential for delegated authority. And meekness, if you want to go ahead and read, that's fine. But meekness is one of the qualification of delegated authority, that you become meek and not just try to establish your own authority. You see, that's a difference when you do things in meekness. You see, you can be meek and bold. You see, you don't understand that statement. You can be meek and bold. Bold, but yet your heart is so meek. No, Lord, I can't do this. Lord, if you don't help me say this, I'm gonna fall on my face. Lord, I don't want to do this by myself. That's somebody that constantly depends upon God for every step they make. And sometimes in the hard places, authority got to make certain decisions, and their meekness make them do it in the love of God. You see it? Meekness and love run together. And that's one of the top qualities of our apostle. You see, he's bold in the spirit, but yet meek at heart. One of the most meekest men I ever seen in my whole life. I'm telling you, it's astounding. See, I've been around him for some time. I've seen some things that is shocking to me. Just shocking to me. You see? The Lord has blessed him, but he has no pride in him. Now, we riding with him, me and a couple of the ministers, where I went to some function, and I happened to be sitting in the back seat with the apostle while the others was in the front. And so it was in his car. He had one of those big Mercedes. And we stopped at a red light. And this man was outside. I'm looking through the window on the side. This man was outside pushing his car. Evidently, his car had stalled on him, and he was trying to get it off the highway. And I'm just looking at him. I'm looking at him, but the next thing I see, apostle jumps out of the car, and he's behind the car pushing with the man in this nice suit. And so I'm sitting there. I said, my goodness, I can't stay here. Apostle's gone. I better get out of here too. But I saw something. I said, God, this man, it just blew me away, Claire. I saw characters of him throughout the years. I got just one instant, but it blew me away, and it's left a mark in my heart, in my spirit, what type of man this was. You see it? See it? And that's what we got to have, Claire. Just meekness. It don't come, this authority don't just come by accident. You have to qualify for it. Something God saw in him, and that made him an honorable vessel for the master. All right? Well, let me go on now. We're still describing Moses and his meekness that God used. He was very meek, the Bible says, above all men who was upon the face of the earth. Now, I chatted with my wife. I said, God said Moses was the meekest man upon the face of the whole earth. Could that mean that God searched the earth he went through the earth and searched to see who he can find to do what he wanted to do with the children of Israel? And the meekest one, if he looked upon them, was Moses. Out of all the people that was on the face of the earth at that time, God, so, let me say this. Don't you think you just randomly called? Don't you think you just shuffled out of the deck being dealt, just shuffled, and just randomly got called by God? No, God been searching for somebody like you, but that qualifies to be able to be called and do what you're doing. So God's mindful of us, the scripture says. Now, the authority which Moses represented was God's own. It was God's own heart in Moses. And see, and God put himself in Moses because Moses, even in Old Testament time, qualified himself to be a vessel unto God. My goodness, he qualified himself. I think those 40 years of preparation, dealing with those sheep, you see, on the backside of the mountain with his father-in-law Jethro, and raising that family on the backside of the mountain, God put some things in him and took some things out of him. I think that was a series of preparation time. 40 years, I thought about that. Sometimes people won't know why God ain't using them, and they ain't been in training long enough. They haven't even been in a time of preparation for God to put some things in and take some things out. Took 40 years for God to prepare Moses to do what he wanted to do. Because God knew the assignment that he had for Moses. And he had to qualify him. Sometimes we got to settle down and just let God qualify us. Sometimes we don't want to take the whipping. Sometimes we don't want to take the rebuke. Sometimes we don't want to take the disappointment. Sometimes we don't want to take when the pastor, when you think it's your turn to preach and you don't preach, we don't know how to take all that. Because you ain't got no turn to preach. No. You see, and I don't mean to go away over there. I don't mean to say all of this and all of that. But sometimes, you know, we want to put the cart ahead of the horse, if you understand that statement. Don't put the cart ahead of the horse. God knows what he's doing. And humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may, Peter said that, exalt you in what time? In due time. He may exalt you in due time. So this qualification of Moses didn't come overnight. He had to spend some time with God alone on the side of the mountain. You see it? He had to separate himself from people and everything else. Are you with me, Claire? Are you with me? All right. So we got to understand what happened with God and Moses. I'm trying to find my place now. I got a little excited. What was the last statement I made, Claire? I got it. The authority which Moses represented was God's own. And no one can take away God-given. Oh, listen at this. Listen at this statement. No one can take away God-given authority. When you see it, and so God, when God is standing behind authority and he's representing himself in a person, in a man, in a woman, nobody can take that away. Nobody. Well, what that mean? That mean leprosy will show up. Whatever. Short life will show up. What I'm saying is you stand in God's way, God will move you. Before he remove his authority. Are you with me? Nobody can stop him. Nobody can stop that authority. Some people die early because they get in trouble with authority. And you don't want that. And you don't want that. All right? Rebellious words. Oh, listen to this. This is going to be on the test, Claire. This is going to be on your final test. Rebellious words ascend to heaven. And are heard by God. And I like that statement. You see, because sometimes people say things, you may not always say things where people can hear it. Even in the privacy of your own home, when you're in your bathroom by yourself, and you these thoughts come up, and you say things that you think nobody hears, God hears it. You can't hide from God because God look at the content of a person's heart. But those rebellious words are sent to heaven and heard by God. Don't you think no word spoken is not heard by God. God hears every word we speak. But rebellious words, God has to judge them a certain way. When you revile against him, God has to judge them a certain way. Claire, this is a serious Claire. People don't understand the seriousness of this assignment that God has on our tongue and our heart. And when you in authority, when in your authority, and when you under authority, when Aaron and Miriam sinned against Moses, they sinned against God, who was in Moses. You see that? And that's another point, Claire. Sometimes in this natural world, in this three-dimensional world, sometimes we get caught up in looking at the flesh so much, we forget that person is representing God. You see, and you can't get too familiar with your spiritual leader. That's why you can't be lovey-dovey with your spiritual leader and want to be around you and telling you how much they love you all the time. Yeah, they love you, but they got to correct you too. And so sometimes you got to be always keyed into the spirit when you get among your spiritual leader and show a respect of authority so God can properly function through them for you and through you. The anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and whatever man touches God's delegated authority, whenever man touches God's delegated authority, he touches God within that person. You see it? So really you're not sinning against that person. Really, you're sinning against God. You see, that's why Moses didn't answer when Miriam and Aaron spoke against him. That's why he didn't defend himself. Moses feared for them because he had an understanding that, Lord, I'm only saying what you say. And I'm only doing what you do. And so he recognized that they wasn't coming against him, but they were coming against the one who sent him. And he feared in his heart. He feared in his heart for them because he knew the error that they were making. And sometimes, you know, it's hard when you're dealing with family because family can't see. Family can't understand all the time. One of my older sisters, she go home to be with the Lord. And she would be a member of this church, and for years. And every time I meet her in church, you know what she would say? Oh, my little baby brother. I ministered to her, my little baby brother. So what I'm saying is, she saw what Aaron and Miriam saw in Moses, their little baby brother. And so with that said. They had no respect for him as an authority because all they see is my little baby brother, my little baby brother. I rock you when I change your diaper. And she did. She old enough to change. I changed your diaper when you were small. And you're not going to tell me what to do. Are you with me? Miriam had changed Moses' diaper when he was small. And now you're going to tell me what to do? Yeah. And so that's the separation that most people can't make. That's the shifting most people can't make. And God starts within the home. So when the home, they can see the authority, those within the home, my God, if they correct them in the home, I know, where do I stand? My God. My time almost up, Claire, but I got to make one more statement. The anger of the Lord was kindled against them. Whenever man touches God's delegated authority, he touches God within that person. And I'm going to close with this one. It might be like a sour note. But sin against delegated authority is sinning against God himself. Now these lesson class are designed to help us so we can recognize authority. If you don't recognize authority, you cannot be subject to it. Now, that's as far as I can go, class. We're going to try to take up our lesson when we come back. And if this is the last lesson for the holidays, I hope you enjoy the holidays and you represent God right. All right, class, I'll see you whenever we get back. God bless you.